I'm Steve Potter, and this is Cityscape, and here are some of the stories that our St. Louis Public Radio newsroom is following today. Drivers who cross the Missouri River on the Blanchet Bridge are about 2 weeks away from a normal commute. The $64 million rehab of the bridge's westbound span will be done in about 3 months. That's 3 months ahead of schedule. An apartment complex near St. Louis University that burned in a five-alarm fire about a year ago reopened today. About 100 people have already signed leases at the 3949 Lindell Building. And flash flooding in south-central Missouri in communities along the Osage River continues to wreak havoc. And join St. Louis Public Radio this afternoon for local and regional news and throughout the day on our website, stlpublicradio.org. Moving along, Max and Louis Productions is currently in rehearsal with The Lions, which opens August 22nd at Coca's Black Box Theater. Please welcome Max and Louis' artistic director, Steli Seitman. Steli, good to see you again.
Steve, it's so good to be here with you again. I love these sessions.
And Judy Mann here. She's part of the cast. Hi, Judy. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
And you always laugh when you see me, but I'm not sure why.
I don't know what it is about you.
But speaking of laughing, I have to ask you this right off the front, Steli. The Lions, that's the show. And I have to say right up front, cancer and comedy, what?
Well, death in a family doesn't automatically bring out the best in people, but it brings out the best in Mr. Silver's writing. That is Nikki Silver. And this is a dark, defiantly eccentric black comedy. And it is funny and heartbreaking. And when I saw it in New York, at off-Broadway, actually.
And that was just recently, right?
Yeah, yeah, very recently. I guess about a year and a half, 2 years ago at the Vineyard Theater, I said, this is the play for Max and Louis Productions. And I have to tell you, Steve, I had appeared in two of his works several years ago, one in 1994 at Shattermask Theater. Yeah,
I remember
that. Shattermask. Fat Men in Skirts. And then in The Food Chain.
Yeah. What was that about?
Fat Men in Skirts, cannibalism.
Oh, my.
Yeah. And, you know, a lot of his journeys have been very, very dark. This journey, a little bit lighter, because it actually is the first of his plays to go to Broadway, interestingly enough, because they nabbed, I guess, Linda Lavin to do the lead role. She, interestingly enough, had done two plum roles in off-Broadway shows. The I think, what was the name of it?
Other
Desert Cities and Follies. And when she was offered this role, she dropped the other two roles because they were going to take it to Broadway in favor of doing Nikki Silver's comedy.
I like Linda Lavin a lot. Is that the role you played, Judy?
It is. It is. She is very well known, and she's kind of known for her dry sort of humor.
What was the sitcom in the restaurant? I just can't.
Alice doesn't live here anymore.
Right.
Alice, that's right.
Yeah.
And what you don't know is that Steli was originally slated to play this role, and she stepped down in order to produce because she is so heavily invested in this piece being successful. And they brought me on, and it was it's been a lot of fun. It's been very crazy. It's a very good cast.
I have to tell you, Judy is outstanding. Linda Lavin nabbed a Tony Award nomination for this role. And I have no doubt that Judy Mann is stepping right up to the plate.
Thank you.
And wouldn't be surprised if she gets nominated for an award as well.
Hmm. Well, we have another cast member that's going to join us right now who happens to be on the phone. This is Megan McGuire. Hi, Megan. Welcome to Cityscape.
Hi. Thank you for having me.
What role do you play, Megan?
I play the daughter, Lisa.
Let's back up to the beginning then.
Yes.
This is about a family that I guess is not that close to begin with. Megan, you tell me.
Yes, that goes without. Yeah, I mean, it is. I've been calling it sort of the perfect dysfunctional family, dysfunctional in almost every way you can imagine. So yes, they're not all that. They're not very close, and in fact, don't really know much about what's been going on with each other. Yeah, there's a lot of distance, you could say.
So what happens is that this family that's not so close comes together because the patriarch, I guess it's the dad, the grandfather, whoever it is literally on his deathbed?
Yes.
Yes, correct.
Yeah.
Yes, the patriarch is dying, and the mother's son, Curtis, is in a very dubious relationship, which I'm not going to go into here.
I want you to
be surprised. No, you have to come see the play. Megan's character, the daughter, is struggling to stay sober. And on top of it all, Judy's character can't settle on a new design for the living room. She's looking forward to life in her husband's absence.
So let me get this straight then.
Yes.
Megan, do you play Judy's daughter?
I do. Oh, I yes. Uh-huh. I play Judy's daughter.
And what's your relationship with your mom?
Bristly, I think, is probably a good descriptor. She makes me a little crazy, I think. Stelly mentioned that my character is trying to stay sober, and my family is full of triggers that make that very difficult to do. So we have a very antagonistic relationship, my mother and I.
Mom, how do you see that?
I just want to add that it's really hard for me to keep a straight face when Megan's on stage because she makes me laugh, and we're supposed to have this strained relationship. And it's hard for me not to see her as the actress playing Lisa, and she just cracks me up. It's a delight to work with her.
And
what are what's both of your relationships with the dying patriarch?
Nobody really likes him much.
That's your dad, right?
My husband.
Your husband.
Yes.
Yeah. As far as for Lisa, I think if there is one of, I mean, I'm the only sibling that he likes, so I think that's, she Lisa holds that dear to her heart, but I mean, we're still not close particularly.
Yeah, I mean, Rita ladles out sort of sweet and sour reassurances when the patriarch says, "I'm dying, Rita." And she says, "Yes, I know, but try to be positive." but she's got a surprise or two in her, Rita. And by the end, you may wonder even if love enters into the equation. She's just not this stereotypical
Long Island matriarch,
the Jewish mother who is embittered and suffocating. She's got quite a monologue at the end of the last act. It's quite an aria, isn't it, Judy?
It's a lot of words.
So does the play, is it just one scene? Is it in the hospital room the whole time?
No, it is not. This is a two-act play. The first act takes place in the hospital. The second act takes place in a vacant apartment, the first scene. And the second scene takes place back in the hospital.
So do we get to know your husband? Judy,
yeah,
I mean, he's conscious during this, I guess.
He is conscious. He's drugged. He's very crabby, in the words of Rita. And he's very funny. He's very revealing. I think his true character is really revealed, even in his medicated dying delirium.
Right. He has a very antagonistic relationship with Curtis, who's emotionally autistic, I think, and there's quite a scene between the two of them in that first act. God, what a ride that first act is.
Well, Megan, how come he likes you?
Well, I don't know. I don't know if he likes me as much as he just hates Curtis. So in comparison, I look pretty good. But he still makes it a point to point out my flaws later in the first act. And so I think just because I'm not as offensive as his son is the only reason he likes me.
Well, hearing about this guy, at first I thought, how do you make someone dying funny? Maybe if the audience doesn't feel sympathetic to him, it's easier to be funny. Is that part of it? Do we not like him?
And it's easy when you have an actor like Bobby Miller, who's just terrific, and I'm sure...
We'll talk about the rest of the cast.
A lot of your audience knows Bobby's work. Bobby is tremendously funny, and waiting for him to die, the laughs pile up. Trust me when I say it. Yeah, he's an obscenity-spewing, angry, rancorous man
who's
dying of cancer, yeah.
It's definitely for an adult audience. There's a lot of language.
Oh, really?
Yes, he's very colorful in his final days.
You know, that's most actors' biggest fear, dying on stage. But he's going for it.
Bobby likes it because he's in bed the whole time. He doesn't have to move.
No, you know, staging.
Spencer Tracy always said, when you asked, you know, what
the secret
to good
to
acting was, know your lines and don't bump into the furniture.
Megan, who are we leaving
Bobby
out?
Doesn't have to worry.
Who are we leaving out of the cast, Megan?
Charlie
Barron, who plays my brother.
Aaron.
A fantastic job. And then Aaron, Orion Baker, plays a real estate agent in the first scene that takes place in that vacant apartment that Stelly mentioned. And then, of course, the fabulous Julie Layton.
Yes.
Who plays the nurse, who has a surprisingly strong character as the play progresses. So
we're talking about The Lions, which opens Thursday, August 22nd at Coca's Black Box, part of Max and Louis Productions. It's their – did I say something wrong?
No, I was just smiling.
You looked at me and gasped.
No, we want to make sure Max and Louis – Max and Louis, by the way, I don't know if your audience knows this, are two adorable little Bichon Frises.
Right. Dogs.
Yeah. We just lost Louis.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah, which was devastating, but he really stands for something, this company. And
you know, Stelly, I've known you a long time. I can never tell when you're being sarcastic.
Me?
No, it's true. They were very instrumental.
Yes.
And they're like their children, and they were very sweet, and Max and Louis lives on in Max.
Yes. So we'll have to get another Louis, King Louis.
Megan McGuire, let me ask you. I'm just guessing this does not have a happy ending.
Well, I think that considering this play is one of those plays where I think the audience will walk away saying, I was laughing, but I can't believe I was laughing at that, you know, those sorts of moments. There is a an optimistic resolution to the play. Yeah, I think that's safe to say. Wouldn't you agree, Judy and Stel?
Yes. I think, you know, although this family is afraid of closeness and afraid of solitude, they're propelled into foreign territory, human connection, at the end of this play. I find it very hopeful. What do you think, Judy?
I do, too. I think that they're stepping into, like you said, new territory with sort of a new sense of optimism for human connection that they didn't have in the family unit.
Right.
Megan, let me ask you all just a little bit about your own background. A lot of people might remember you, Megan, from your times. You've done a lot of things, but you were involved with the Orange Girls Theater Company, which wasn't around for all that long, but they got a lot of positive response from their work while they were here.
Yes. We were around for four seasons, and along with Michelle Hand and Brooke Edwards, I was honored to be one of the co-artistic directors and founders. So.
And you were in that George Clooney movie that was filmed in St. Louis, Up in the Air.
Yes, I was. I had a very, very short speaking role. If you blinked, you missed me, but it was a lot of fun. It was a great experience.
Mm-hmm. And Judy, you worked Menopause the Musical, played out at Westport for how long?
Oh, gosh. Well, the first time around, I believe it was 18 months. It was a long run.
That's a long run for an actress, isn't it?
That is an actor's dream. To be employed for 18 consecutive months is very rare.
And you toured with Carol Channing in Hello, Dolly. I saw that at the Fox back in the 90s. Would that be the same tour?
No, the tour I went on did not come through St. Louis. That was the tour before the one I was on.
How exciting it must have been, though, to work with her.
It was a hoot, and she was quite the character.
And just briefly, before we go, we brought up Bobby Miller, who is an actor in the show. Wayne Salomon is directing, and we could do a whole show on their relationship, right? These guys go back a million years. They met when they were in high school, and they call each other twins by another mother. And they've been married five times, and they were each best man in each other's wedding every time. What a story, right?
They probably should have married one another.
That's a good point. I feel like they are at times during rehearsal. I really do.
Yeah, it's really cool because this is the first time they've worked together, I think, in 26 years. And, of course, they were both involved in the theater project, which spawned off all these other small professional theaters
in subsequent
years.
Back in Union Station in the 70s and 80s, right?
Yeah. What year was that, Megan? Do you remember?
I don't. I think they were around until the early 90s, I believe. So they were around for quite some time. 15 years, I think, is what Bobby said.
Yeah, it's very exciting. We have the best design team, too. Justin Barasonic is doing the set. Just top-notch people.
Well, let's go over things. Max and Louis Productions presents Nikki Silver's The Lions, opening Thursday, August 22nd, running through September 1st at Coca's Black Box Theater. If you go to stlpublicradio.org, to the Cityscape page, we'll have a link to Max and Louis' website. You can find out more. You guys kind of move around as far as venues, or have been.
No, actually, we've been at Coca for the last 2 years.
Oh.
Yeah.
So what's next?
Well, it depends on the sizes of our audience, I think. I think right now that intimate space is really good for us. And a production like this, you really want the audience, I feel, to be close to the actors.
That's The Lions. August the 22nd is the opening. Stelly Siteman is Max and Louis' artistic director. And we've been talking with Judy Mann, who's in the cast here in the studio. Good seeing you, Judy.
My pleasure.
And Megan McGuire joined us on the phone. Megan, thank you so much.
Thank you.
And break a leg. Have a great run.
Thank you.
Thanks so much.
Thanks, Steve.
And next week on Cityscape, we're going to talk about a concert to benefit the University City Children's Center's Scholarship Fund. And in the next installment of Soundbites, produced with Sauce Magazine, we'll consider food-related summer reading. Then join Don Marsh Monday for St. Louis on the Air, when he and his guests will take a look at biological clocks and how they affect our health and the way we live. Cityscape is produced by Mary Edwards, Alex Hoyer, and Aaron Dorr, with assistance from Camille Phillips and Jeremy Bailey. The executive producer is Robert Peterson. Cityscape is made possible in part by the Arts and Education Council of Greater St. Louis, the Regional Arts Commission, and the Missouri Arts Council, a state agency. Cityscape is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU. I'm Steve Potter, and thanks for joining us today.